The following is an AUFans.com production. It's a new day, Auburn fans!
It's time, everybody! It's time for the AU Fans Podcast! Woo!
Prepare to be entertained and informed.
What about it, punk?
Your life might even change.
Do you bleed orange and blue?
War Eagle!
War Eagle.
You are about to enter the AU Fans Podcast with expert witness testimony. Expert commentary delivered straight to your plate by Stan the Unusual Man Stevens.
Alrighty. There you go, Stanley. What do you say? Give it to us straight, man.
War Eagle, everybody, and welcome to the AU Fans Podcast. I am your host, Stan Stevens. Well, we are 1-0. And that is a good feeling. The Gus Malzahn era has begun. It's great to get a win over a Pacific 12 school, one led by Mike Leach. Mike's had a lot of success in the past with other schools, and he runs a high-octane offense usually. They were ninth in the country last year, so it was a big win. Any win's big right now for Auburn. We're, as I said last week, everybody starts out undefeated. Well, after this week, half of those teams now have a loss, but we're still in the hunt at 1-0. There was a lot to be excited about Saturday night, and a lot to be concerned about. The highlights defensively, we got three interceptions, two by Robinson Therese, who was the SEC Defensive Player of the Week, by the way. But we got three INTs Saturday night. Well, last year, the whole season, Auburn had two interceptions, which is incredibly low. But to break that record, go ahead and get that out of the way in the first game. And honestly, if you watch the game, we probably could have had as many as six or seven interceptions, counting all the drops we had. So, but three interceptions. Also, the tackling appeared to be a lot better Saturday night. You can tell that the new staff heard and saw on film the problems we had with tackling. So that was much improved. Other things that I was encouraged about. Of course, this offense that Mike Leach runs, where it's pass first and then running is an afterthought, is a tough offense to stop. They have a lot of short passes, a lot of little dinky passes in the flat and in the backfield, and so it's a tough offense to slow down. But in the first half, it was tough. They scored 21 points in the first half. Now, some of the highlights for Auburn, of course, offensively, were in the first half, because each time they scored, except for the first time, they kicked off to us after they scored that first touchdown, and we got a first down or so and had to kick it back. But that first turnover that they gave us, Therese's interception, then we went in and scored. And, of course, Gus, pulling a page out of the Gus Malzahn playbook, goes for two. I don't ever recall seeing Auburn team go for two on the first score of the game. So that was interesting, to say the least. It was successful, barely, and we took an 8-7 lead, and it really kind of changed the complexity of things, because then Washington State drives down, scores again. Then we take the ensuing kickoff to the house, and with the extra point, take the lead. And we kept doing that. Again, Washington State drove it down, scored. We answered that after the first offensive play with Corey Grant going 75 yards to take the lead again. So we answered the good side of that is we answered Washington State's scores with our own within one or two plays, and then kicked a field goal to take a 25-21 lead at halftime. Now, the other really impressive thing to me was whatever halftime adjustments that Coach Johnson made and his staff worked pretty good, because Washington State comes out and gets a total of 3 points that second half. And folks, I want you to really think about the last season's games, many of them that we were out of by halftime, much less stopping anybody in the halftime. So we go into half having played on the field for much of the first half. Time of possession was heavily in Washington State's favor in that first half, and our defense had to have been a little bit gassed. If you notice games around the South this weekend, there were people cramping up all over the place, starting with Thursday night's game, South Carolina and Vandy. But Auburn's players, for the most part, and I give my cap to Ryan Russell, who is our new strength and conditioning guy. I'd heard all summer how, and really all the way back to last winter, the workouts, how strenuous these workouts are. And I think it paid dividends Saturday on the field. Auburn looked like a very well-conditioned team. So, but you come out in the second half and you give up a total of 3 points to that offense that had scored 3 touchdowns. That's a lot to be excited about if you are looking for positives. Offensively, well, we've got a little work to do here. Having said that, Some of the numbers, even offensively, are skewed. When you take a kickoff back for a touchdown, that eliminates any offensive possession on that possession to make first downs and have yardage. So you almost have to add that 100-yard return to Auburn's offensive total. Corey Grant going 75 yards, one play drive. Now, certainly you get the whole 75 yards on your total offense, but your time of possession goes way down when you have a guy that goes the whole distance in one play. Nick Marshall, I thought, showed flashes, especially as the game wore on. I mean, you got to remember, this guy has never played quarterback at this level. He played junior college. He was a DB with Georgia the year he was there. And so this was his first live action under the bright lights and all the pressure that goes with that. But I thought as the game went on, Nick played a lot better. He showed right off the bat that he's got a tremendous arm. I think looking at the film, he threw that first pass somewhere around, 60 or 70 yards in the air and almost effortlessly. So the comparison to maybe Cam and his arm strength may not be that exaggerated. I thought he got better in the second half. He looked smoother. He had 2 or 3 plays where he was very elusive. He turned one play where he had scrambled to his right and then came around on the other side, turned back, went the other way, and made a pretty good gain out of that play that could have easily been a loss. So from what I saw from Nick Marshall, I feel good that this guy, if he improves, they cut out the mistakes. And, I mean, the old cliche that you improve more between games 1 and 2 than any other game, there's probably a lot of truth in that. You've been practicing. Now you've got some footage against a good opponent to make the corrections. I thought the running game was pretty strong, though. We've got three really good tailbacks. Corey Grant, rather. Trey Mason had a good game, except that last fumble. But Corey Grant, I think he was an unknown to some extent. I think the coaches knew what he could do. There'd been talk about how good he'd looked in preseason. But again, until you see it out on the field, there's always question marks. What a guy can do. And he proved that he's got OMAC kind of speed and with some size. Cameron Artis Payne looked good. He's a bigger, stronger looking running back. And of course, Trey Mason has got a lot of moves, is a good quality back. So as far as our running game, we had a few missed assignments on the offensive line. We had a couple of third down and shorts that I think against really good, stronger defenses, we're going to have to find a way to make those plays to extend drives. But again, we've got a lot of room for improvement, but I saw flashes on that offense that shows me, and I know Gus Malzahn and Rhett Lashley, the kind of coaches they are, they'll get the improvement on the offense. Now, defensively, again, getting those turnovers were big. The play of the freshman defensive tackle, Montrevious Adams, I mean, that guy looked like he was a senior. I think he will be looking for some serious playing time, looking to move into the starting rotation if some of those older guys don't really pick up their game. This kid's really going to be something special, I believe. He played an outstanding game. I saw there were several freshmen that played. Carl Lawson was in the game. I mean, this guy looks like he's a senior in terms of his physicality. He just needs to get some more reps as well. And there was other freshmen that played. I thought the secondary, Jonathan Mincy, played a great game. If he could have held on to some interceptions, no telling what he would have been able to do. But he, you know, his coverage all night was real good. You could just see an overall improvement, especially the second half, out of that defense. Something I didn't see all of last year at any point. Maybe the LSU game last year, but that second half was really impressive. Other areas I thought we were solid. Obviously, Cody Parkey had a good game. He missed the 150-yard field goal, but he was 3 for 4. Constantly putting the kickoffs in the end zone. Stephen Clark had a great night punting. I mean, he didn't have a single punt returned, even though I think probably a couple of those punts he would have liked to have a little more distance. There's a lot to be said about hang time and no zero return yardage on punts. So, again, special teams was outstanding. So, again, overall, I thought it was a great first game victory, a game that Auburn could have lost. The defense came up with 2 late stops in the fourth quarter. Again, when's the last time that's happened at Auburn where we've stopped an opponent inside, you know, the 30-yard line once with the interception late, and then after Trey Mason's fumble, the defense held, you know, on down. So there's a lot to build on. So I think that hopefully this week of practice, getting ready for Arkansas State, will be productive, and you'll even see a much better team Saturday evening against Arkansas State. Of course, this week's opponent, Arkansas State Red Wolves, are coming off a big win of their own, 61-14, I believe it was. 62-11 winners over Arkansas Pine Bluff. No powerhouse there, but Arkansas State, being Coach Malzahn's former team, they have a lot. They have like 12 starters back. They hired a guy that runs the same offense that Hugh Freeze ran 2 years ago and Coach Malzahn last year. So they've obviously recruited for that system, and scoring 62 points it's a good start for them as well. So we'll have to play, I think, better to beat Arkansas State. They'll obviously improve from game 1 to 2, so we need to do the same. We should have a lot more, you know, we should have a lot more athletes than Arkansas State, and it probably doesn't hurt to have like 7 coaches that were at Arkansas State last year, you know, helping you prepare for this week's game. So that's pretty much a look at next week's opponent, Arkansas State, a team that Auburn should be able to beat. I think that with the improvement that you're going to see from the Tigers this week to next week, and with the familiarity with the personnel, I would hope Auburn could score at least in the 40s on Arkansas State and maybe hold them into the 20s. I think Arkansas State will present some challenges with speed. Of course, we should be prepared for anything that they do, because that's what we've been looking at practice since the spring. Now, let's take a look around the SEC for a moment, what happened this week and some of the big games coming up this week among our SEC brethren. The Gators got a win against Toledo. That's to me a little more impressive than you might think. Toledo went won 9 games last year, had a pretty efficient offense, and they had a lot of their like 9 of their offensive players back. So for the Gators to hold them to 6 is a little more impressive than you might otherwise think. Now, scoring 24, Toledo had graduated a majority of their defensive players, so I would have figured that the Gators would have scored a little bit more than that. But, I mean, they've got Florida's got Miami in Miami this week, but I'm going with the Gators to win that one. Georgia fell a little short to Clemson. Clemson, Dabo Swinney's obviously got a good team at Clemson, playing at Death Valley in Clemson. It was a great game. Georgia's offense is obviously were close to where they were last year, but they lost a lot of players. I think they started maybe 3 true freshmen Saturday night, and that's just tough to win in the SEC when you're doing that. Of course, again, Clemson's probably got one of the best offenses on paper that Georgia will see all year. So Georgia and South Carolina this week, that's a tough call. I like Spurrier. Spurrier's always had good success against Georgia when he was at Florida, and they're coming off a win last year against them at home. Between the Hedges and boy, Rick, if Mark Rick and Georgia loses this one, their back is really against the wall. I'm still going to go with the Gamecocks to squeak out a close one. Kentucky, welcome to the SEC, Mark Stoops. This is not your Florida State personnel that he was playing with last year as D coordinator at FSU. Bobby Petrino, Western Kentucky, they've improved their play the last few years. They actually beat Kentucky last year. So to a tough way to open for Mark Stoops and Kentucky. Kentucky plays Miami, Ohio. I'm going to give the Wildcats that nod. Western Kentucky and Tennessee, that's going to be an interesting game from Knoxville. Tennessee had the big win over Austin Peay, which you would expect. I think you'll know more about how much the Vols have improved under Coach Jones when they play Western Kentucky. I look for Tennessee to beat Western Kentucky. It may be a little closer than people might think, although I'm not sure what the line is on it, but it should be a good game. I think Coach Jones, though, has obviously changed some attitudes and has done some good things already in Knoxville, and we'll know more about that come Saturday. Then you've got, let's see, well, Bama's off, of course, getting ready for their big game against Texas A&M in 2 weeks. Arkansas will be playing Samford, and I hope that Coach Sullivan is recovering from some surgery. I hope he is doing better and maybe can join the team for that. So that's, LSU's got UAB, Mississippi State, who had a tough game against Oklahoma State. They held Oklahoma State better than I thought they would, but scoring 3 is just, that's a tough way to open. So, anyway, that kind of is around the look at the other SEC games coming up this week. So, that's about it. We've got one new feature that we're going to, we want to introduce to AU fans. And this feature is it's something we want to try to do each week if we can. We want to highlight an Auburn alumnus from across the globe. This week's guest comes to us all the way from Sydney, Australia. Welcome to the show, Auburn Tiger Ethan Harris. Good day, Ethan, and welcome to the show.
Ah, Stan, good day, mate. Actually, it's pronounced Ethan. You hear the difference? Ethan. Now, I'm just poking a little fun there, Stanley. Me being from the lucky country and you being from Alabama. I hope you don't mind if I call you Stanley. I have a traveling mate I like to call Stanley. He's from down in, he lives in Whoop Whoop. That's south of Sydney. Actually, I don't know where the bloke's from, but...
So, Ethan, I understand you just got back from, you just came back from, or getting back from the Outback. How was the blooming onion?
What? The blooming... I don't know what you're talking about, but I've heard of being a blooming idiot In fact, I've run into a couple of those lately.
Excuse me, Ethan. I was thinking about the restaurant.
Okay, good. I was getting ready to bail out on you. For a minute, I thought you were trying to say I was a dill or a Fruit Loop or something.
Well, what question do you have for AUFans.com, Ethan?
Oh, right. So here's my question. What is going on with this Gus Bus thing people are jabbering about these days? It reminds me of the Partridge Family. My oldies, you know, my parents, tried to get me to watch American TV on the tube when I got back from the uni, but I'd rather drive my V-dub than some checkered monstrosity like that. Although the bus would do better in a Bingle for sure. You know what I mean, right? A motor vehicle accident?
Well, Ethan, it's not an actual bus. It's more like a movement.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but the most exciting movement I get from riding a bus is when I make a Technicolor yawn. You're not laughing. I mean, I throw up, I upchuck, I vomit when I ride a bus. Get with it, Stanley.
No, Ethan, it's a play on words. See, the coach's name is Gus Malzahn. So you see, getting on the Gus bus is getting behind our new coach.
Oh, I get it. You mean being supportive and all that hoo-ha. Well, no drama. I made a blue. I've miscommunicated with lots of no-hopers in my day. Not that I've had that many days. But listen, thanks for letting me come on your show. Next time, maybe I can bring my oldies with me and we can have a big time.
Well, thanks. Thanks for joining us, Ethan.
Thank you, Stan, and good luck with your little AU fans show thingy. War Eagle! War Eagle! Bye now.
Well, okay, Tiger fans, join me again next week. I'm still learning this trade as well. We're going to get better. We'll get rid of some of the try to improve the show. I'll see if I can't get a little bit more in depth as we go along this season. But I appreciate you joining me. And if you have any questions, go to the website, www.aufans.com, and click on the mailbag link there on the page and submit a question to your humble correspondent and host here, Stan the Man Unusual. Until next week, War Eagle, everybody, take care.
This has been an AU Fans podcast with your host, Stan Stevens. Website and technical support provided by Keith Maxwell. Audio production by voiceofjweb.com. Join us again next week for more in-depth analysis on AUFans.com. Thank you for listening.